Valerie Robertson's Memories of Living by the Railway Line, first published in Remembering World War II by St. Luke's Sharing Stories Group, St. Albans 2010, and reproduced here by kind permission of her family. Station House stood at the bottom of a short curving drive just off the London Road in the pleasant city of St. Albans. Our move to Station House happened when I was very young. The rest of the family had memories of other homes, but Station House was the first home for my memory. The drive continued beyond large gates into the coal yard, where there was a weighbridge, a biscuit packing factory, several sidings, and many high piles of coal, coke, coal dust, etc. The large sprawling house ran the length of the platform. It was an attractively shaped building with most of the living accommodation upstairs and the station area downstairs. The back door of the house opened onto the railway platform and was seldom used. Beyond the garden were the allotments, and further still was a factory where secret work was done on submarines during the war. We children were told never to attempt to trespass beyond the fence, and we never did. Not because of the danger to the war effort, but because we knew we would be punished. There was a very nice, generous gentleman who would come to the fence and hand out sweets to us. There was no ulterior motive, he just loved children. It makes me sad to think that today he would be viewed with suspicion. The station was exceptionally busy during the war, mainly because it carried the workers to Hatfield, to the aircraft factory, to Havilland's. I got to know all the station staff very well. There was dear Mr. Shawyer, the head porter, and John, the under porter. In the office was Stan, a young man about 20-something. I thought him very handsome. Later on, a lady became the office clerk. I'm not sure why. Perhaps Stan was called up. The lady's name was Mrs. Fordham. She was from Wales. A short person with very quick, almost bird-like movements. During her time there, she had a baby daughter whom she named Irene. She already had a son called Peter. Mum allowed her to bring the baby up to the house when she required feeding several times a day. It always gave Mum a laugh when Mrs. F. passed by the kitchen on her way to the living room, for she wasn't shy at asking for a cuppa. She would call out in a strong Welsh accent, "No sugar in mine, thank you, dear." When Stan was in the office, he used to let me help. Actually, I was probably a pain in the neck, but he was such a patient chap and never made me feel unwelcome. At other times, Mr. Shawyer let me sit in the porter's room. We had strong black tea in tin mugs, and even in the war years, we had a bit of sugar in it. At home, it was saccharine or nothing. In fact, I found the taste of saccharine so revolting that I gave up sugar and have never taken it in tea or coffee since. Sometimes the engine would draw up and the driver and his mate would have a cuppa too. One day Mum had put out four lines of washing. It was a mammoth task with no washing machine and a struggle for us to get it over the line to the garden. Up drew the engine and the men went into the porter's room, leaving the engine smoking and steaming away. Now Mum was barely 5 foot tall, but she had the spirit and vitality of a 7 foot giant. Down she came like the wrath of God, fists clenched and shaking with a face filled with fury. "You move that engine away from my washing, or I'll make you wash it all again," she shouted. "Yes, ma'am," said the 2 6-foot cowards, running out to the offending engine and moving it to the other end of the platform. We also had American soldiers parked outside Station House. They used the coal yard and the golf course for manoeuvres. They were such lovely chaps and made a great fuss of me. One of them called himself Dolores. One day he had bought a beautiful necklace for his latest conquest. Americans were never backwards in coming forward when it comes to courting, and he gave the box to me. He had filled it with chewing gum. It was a super box, all lined with purple satin, and I kept it for many years. Dolores said that he would come back after the war and marry me. I'm still waiting. My sister Barbara was a great favourite with one of the men, and I remember seeing her in his jeep riding up the road. She looked so lovely with her hair blowing in the wind and her face smiling. Sadly, the chap named Bob was killed in action. I found the Americans to be happy, generous men, completely trustworthy and great fun to talk to. Came the day when I was allowed to drive the engine. I'm pretty sure that it wouldn't have been allowed, but it was so long ago that I can't imagine anyone getting into trouble now. I threw several pieces of coal onto the fire, and the driver assured me it would get us to Hatfield and back. It was quite an experience, and one which I will never forget. I remember most of all the smell of the engine. When we returned, we all went into the porter's room for the big mugs of tea. I used to love listening to the conversation, most of which was extremely uninteresting to a small child, but it made me feel part of the group. Mr. Scheuer was such a dear man, and I can still see his face in my memory. One of his two daughters, Jean, became my very good friend at school. There was never any bad language. Somehow people just did not use to swear much in those days. During the war, we had some German prisoners of war, who used to come in supervised groups to work on the line. Some of them looked like boys of 16, and most probably were. Mum used to give them windfalls, and Mr. Scheuer told her she was feeding the enemy. Mum said, "They're just boys, and if my son was a prisoner in Germany, I'm sure some Hausfrau would do the same." One day Mum had done loads of washing and was having a lie down to rest her weary bones when it started to rain. Now we had Auntie Emily staying with us from Bournemouth. She had a nasty bout of bronchitis, and Mum was giving her a convalescent month. Auntie had a bladder problem, and Mum had cut the gussets out of her drawers so that she could manage in a hurry. Feeling rather angelic, I ran across the lines to get the washing in. The prisoners were there, but Mum had told me to ignore them, so I did. I piled as much washing as I could into the laundry basket and hurried back across the line. Just as I went under the bridge, a gust of wind took the top item of washing and blew it to the feet of one of the prisoners. Of course, it had to be Auntie's drawers. The prisoner brought it to me and presented it with a click of the heels. I just burst into tears of mortification and ran indoors to tell Mum. She was most amused.